This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Praise God, it is another beautiful day. On today's broadcast, we feature the ministry of Tom Rotolo. Now, Tom Rotolo is currently the founder and president of City Quake, a ministry that comes alongside churches and ministries to help them carry out their mission to the next step through power evangelism, healing, encounters out in the real world. So let's get out in the real world, and here is Tom Rotolo.
Wow. You have an amazing Savior. That's awesome. I had at one point thought about renaming, well, this is when I had, the conference was named Power and Love. Power and Love was a 3.5 day, I call it an activation event, where it's definitely, you know, it's like a conference, speakers, worship, ministry, but we added this piece called outreach or love in action. And the reason why we did that is because I felt like there's an importance in the body of Christ to have expression of worship to our Savior and to our King. That's just so beautiful, but to be consistent with that same kind of worship attitude out there. Come on. Not that we would necessarily start singing at Costco a worship song to the top of our lungs, but almost. Because we would want Jesus to be glorified at Costco, just like we want him to be glorified on Sunday morning. And so I thought about changing the name of my conference from Power and Love, which has a great ring to it, to Always the Same Conference. I just want us always to be the same. I want to always be the same. I want to be the same when I fly home on the flight and the guy or gal sitting next to me. I want to be the same. I want to give Jesus that same honor and glory. I want them to know this amazing Savior. I want them to know that great faithfulness that we just sang about. I want them to know just how, what he did for not only me, but he did for them. I want to be able to share this testimony that I have, that every one of us here has, of coming to know him, of talking about the changes that he's made. Do you know what he's done to my life? Do you know the direction I was going in? And then he grabbed hold of me and saved, not just from hell and eternity away from him, but just the life that of destruction, causing destruction all over my life. And you were going that same wrong way. And he grabbed hold of you. And you've got a story to tell about your Savior. And that's what this week's been about. It's just figuring out better ways of giving him glory out there. Better ways of saying, have you heard about my Savior? Have you heard about how good he is? He may have been misrepresented to you. You may have heard some things that are not true about my God. I need to tell you the truth about him. I need to tell you what he did for you on a cross 2,000 years ago. I need to tell you how that applies to you today. It'll take away the guilt, take away the shame, will change the direction of your life. I need you to know my Savior. See, if we have that perspective out there, we won't be bipolar Christians.
Come on.
We'll always be the same. Well, I'm afraid. I was a pastor for 18 years. Then I worked with Randy Clark for 7, traveled around the world, teaching pastors and leaders. And I'm really concerned for the body of Christ. We've made this thing about going to services. We've made this thing about sitting and listening to the Word of God, which is amazing. I love listening to preaching on the Word of God. But we've made it a spectator sport. And when the real joy, some of you are experiencing it this week. I might want to have a couple of you share a couple testimonies in a minute. But the real Joy is not just, I mean, that, put up your hand if you know that in the Great Commission, Jesus told us to go and make disciples of all nations. If you know that, if you're aware of that and you know it's our job to make disciples, put up your hand. Yeah, that's like 99.9, and a couple of you are just too lazy to put up your hand. But if I asked you, how many of you had a chance in the week before this week or up to City Quake, you stepped out to talk to people, to at least one person about Jesus in the week before? Most congregations, it's about 5%. That's a disconnect. That's a like, what are we doing? That's like not even fathomable. Because I know you worship with all your heart in here. And so we're just trying to reconnect. I believe there needs to be a great reconnect in the body of Christ. I believe that, and that when that happens, there's a flow. There'll be a flow in you, I'm telling you. Especially on this side of the auditorium. No. But there's going to be a reconnect in you when you start letting this flow out of you. I know probably every one of you at some point has talked to somebody about Jesus. I'm probably pretty sure about that, right? And I just remind yourself of how you were after that experience. Like, you were more reconnected. There's a joy. There's like, wow. And then all of a sudden that began to fade. And then the next situation, you might have been, oh, I should talk about Jesus, but, oh, I don't know, I'm a little embarrassed, or what do they might think of me? And then the next situation comes up, and then you get to the point where you don't even think about it. I'm just going to the store. I'm just getting my groceries. I'm just getting my coffee. I'm just getting this. I'm just going, I have to get some gas today. And you're not even thinking Jesus. I'm crying over myself over how many times I didn't even think about Jesus, this one that I worship. What happens between right now on Sunday morning and when we walk out the door? What happens to me? I go into just my mode of just getting things done, doing this job, doing that job, of having that. Listen to those of you under 20. If your parents take you to church, but then don't represent him everywhere, I'm so sorry. I think about that in my own life. Like, I have 3 older daughters and 3 younger daughters. It's a long story. But I was a pastor, and yet there are many times, I don't know how many times they saw me represent Jesus out there in the world. It was not enough. And what's going to happen in you? And I'm saying this to you. I'm honestly saying it to you. You all can. There's going to be a disconnect in you, and there's going to be a tension in you, and you're going to be like, what's going on? Is he really Lord, or is he just, are they just going through religious motions? And I'm sorry about that, but I'll tell you, you can rise up, and you could say, no, he is Lord, and I'm going to serve him in every single moment of every single day, at school, when I go to play sports or to a dance class or whatever, I'm going to represent him there because he's worthy of being represented. And then you'll be a witness back to your parents, which they might need. I just don't want to see any more teens saying, hey, my parents, I grew up in church, but there was something wrong about it. And I'll tell you, that's one of the big things that's wrong with kids, because they didn't see. Because you know what they would be able to tell. If that happened, they would be able to tell the testimonies of Jesus. Yeah. The testimonies that they saw happen through their parent. Of their parents reaching out and bringing healing, like physical healing, out there at the grocery store. They would be able to tell stories of people bursting into tears. Yes, I needed that. I needed just that encouragement today. They would be able to tell stories of how your parents got words of knowledge for people out there, and it just undid them, and they came to Jesus. And then you would be able to share these stories about Jesus. But when you don't have those testimonies, when you don't have those real-life testimonies, you know what you have? You have the law, but also share the testimonies of what he's done. What he's done for me. We're supposed to be hearing both as we grow up. And sometimes we just hear, just be a good kid. Don't do that. Don't get on drugs. Don't have sex before marriage. Don't do this. Don't do that. You just lied to me. I'm sorry. Listen, go to your room until I tell you to come out. You just lie. You're told over and over again the things you're supposed to do, the things you're not supposed to do, but you never explained about the power of the Holy Spirit to do those things. And you never see it flow out of your parents that have been telling you, do this, do that. And you're like, man, I get tired of that. They need to see the life of God, not just the ways of God. They need to see the life of God, not just the ways of God.
I've been out. This man is amazing to teach what he taught us all. We went out the first time with my son, Pastor Rick, and then a couple other people. And I've never done this before, so Rick said, come on, we're going to pray and see where the Holy Spirit leads us. So I seen Big Lots. I seen a lady who's dumped over a basket. Looked like she was stocking shelves, and her name was Mary. So we go to Big Lots, and I get this feeling in my heart. When I seen this lady, the Lord showed me her face and everything. And there's just a feeling in my heart like the burning, like God saying, go. That's her right there.
Mm-hmm.
So I go over there, and she's right by the shelf. I turn the corner, and she almost hit me. She goes, oh, honey, I'm sorry, I almost hit you. I said, no, you didn't. She said, my name's Vicky. We're doing this at the church. And I said, I seen you. God showed me you. She goes, oh, no, honey, you didn't. I was not there. Okay. So I said, no. It's not like that. What's your name? Can you tell me your name? She said it was Mary. I was like, okay, Mary. The Lord wants me to pray for you. She was hunched over, and she was pushed in the Big Lock cart.
So she's a homeless person?
No, she's not a homeless person. Oh. She was like almost in her 80s maybe.
Oh, okay.
But she had something going on, and I felt it, and I said, can I pray for you? And I touched her, and I felt all her pain. She told me that she had two sons that died this year from the COVID, and she said she had one that got TB, tuberculosis. And I was like, oh my gosh, Mary, I'm so sorry. So I'm sitting there and I'm praying for her. And I said, you know, the Lord wants me to tell you there is a light at the end of your tunnel. He is so proud of you, of what you're doing and your suffering. No, he's going to bring you joy and happiness back into your life. So I had her in tears, and now I got myself in tears again. But she thanked me, and she just went on her way. And it was amazing. And then after I did that, I felt the warmth again of the Holy Spirit coming over me, like, tell me, that was good. That's what you need to do for me.
Yeah. You know, thank you. Just 1 second. Hold. Before you go down. You see her tears, right?
Yes.
Those are just the tears of Jesus right there.
Yeah.
And that same compassion, as you step out, you might think, well, you know, I don't, right now I'm so concerned. I've got, you know, I've got bills to pay. I've got work. I've got a problem here with my this and that. And you might think, I don't have any compassion. She's got amazing compassion. I can't be like her. You might think about that. So you probably thought that about yourself, you know, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But what happens is as you step out, as you step out in faith, that you take on the very eyes and ears and feet and hands of Jesus and the heart of Jesus, most importantly, and you begin to feel, and that is so common. What I've seen this thousands of times in terms of what happens in you. You think you're not capable of this. Oh, that's for, we have some evangelists in our church. We'll take care of that. I'm telling you, it's for every one of us. Anyway,
that was the
thank
first
you for
time,
sure.
And I'm gonna keep on
doing
that.
Yeah, thank you for taking that. That's awesome. All right. Turn to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. We're going to go through this really good. I love this passage. This is one that I know you've heard before. So it's the story of the four men bringing the paralytic to Jesus, right? I know you've heard it before. I'm just going to read this passage, and we're going to get into this a little bit. And when he, that's Jesus, in Mark chapter 2, verse 1, he had come back to Capernaum several days afterwards, it was heard that he was at home, meaning Jesus was there back in Capernaum. And many were gathered so that there was no longer room, even near the door. He was speaking the word to them, and they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men, and being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "My son, your sins are forgiven." It is so easy to read scripture in a way that it's like, oh, I heard that before. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I like to, because, I mean, I've been a Christian 43 years. I've heard every story many times in the scripture, but I like to take myself back into that place. Now, I don't know if it was the paralytic himself saying, "Hey, guys, you got to get me to Jesus." I don't know if it was that, or I don't know if it was the guy saying, "Hey, just me, do you think that maybe could today be our friend? He's not able, he's paralyzed. He can't even move from the, maybe today if we get him to Jesus. He's got his pallet. He's carried around all the time by his pallet. Why don't we take him to Jesus' house? All right, let's do it." I don't know how far did they? Did they live a half mile away, 2 miles away? I don't know. But they're there carrying. I don't know. And you're trying to carry somebody, four people trying to carry a guy. It's heavy. They're getting him to Jesus. And then they get to the house. Oh, no. We're too late. There's no room. What are we going to do? What was the conversation then? I imagine it was something like, "All right, maybe we should come back tomorrow." "Oh, no." And who knows? Maybe it was one of the guys saying, "No, we got to get our friend to Jesus today. What can we do? Let's take him up on the roof. Carry him up, somehow carry him up steps up onto the roof." And they're like, "Okay, now what do we do? Now what do we do?" Friends, get their friends to Jesus. Friends, get their friends to Jesus. How do we do that today? If Jesus was in Denver, well, we could just drive there. How do we get our friends to Jesus today? We don't have Jesus live and in the flesh today. How do we get our friends to Jesus today? Listen. I'm going to turn you to a different passage really quick. We're going to read this passage. You're going to think, why in the world is he going to that passage? It's the passage about John the Baptist when he's in prison. Remember, John the Baptist proclaims, "Come on, this one is coming after me. He's so amazing." You know, and then a lot of John's disciples followed after Jesus because he said, he's the real one. He's the Christ, you know. But then John is put in prison. There's like a death sentence on John the Baptist. And he's in prison and he's beginning to wonder. You ever go through a hard time and you begin to wonder, is this really all true? What have I been doing? I've been going to church for years. Could this really be, is this all made up? Is this just, you know, to keep us all in order so we all have religion, a crutch? Or is this really true? Well, John is wondering in this passage in Luke 7, 18. He says, John's disciples told him about these things, calling two of them. John calls two of his disciples when he's in prison, and he sent them to the Lord to ask. Listen to the question he's asking. Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Are you the one who the Old Testament prophesied? That's who I thought you were. That's what I thought you were Jesus the Christ, the one who was prophesied about, but now I'm beginning to have my doubts. So he sent his friends to Jesus, and when the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to ask you, are you the one who's to come, or should we expect someone else?" At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits. He gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." Let me put that in my own. Let me just go over that again. They come to Jesus. Jesus, John the Baptist sent us. He's in prison. He's starting to wonder, are you really the one who is to come? Are you really Jesus the Christ? Are you not just Jesus of Nazareth? Jesus there. Excuse me a minute. Boom, 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 boom. Deaf hear, lame walk. All the miracles are done. Blind receive sight. He goes back. Hey, John's disciples, go back and tell him what you've seen and heard. Do you know what he's doing? He's saying, John, I don't want you just to believe because I'm telling you I'm the Christ. I want you to believe because of the power that is being displayed through my life, John. I want you to know that I'm not just Jesus of Nazareth. I am Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, the one filled with the Holy Spirit, the one prophesied. You don't have to just believe by my teaching. My teaching's good, but you don't just go by that. You don't just have to believe because of what I'm telling you. You believe because you've seen the power of God. You know, it's no accident that we are called the body of Christ. Today, when you're wondering, how can I take my friends to Jesus? It's now you're taking them to us. You take them to the Jesus in us. We are now part of the body of Christ. That was the body of Christ, Jesus the Christ. Now we are the body of Christ. We are just like Jesus on this earth. You know what? When your friends come up and say, oh, that's just a crutch. Listen, you believe in that. You believe in the Bible. We've got another book. We've got another thing that we go by. We've got some other teaching here. You got your teaching. I got mine. You've heard that before? They're having faith in their book, in their teaching, or in their lack of teaching, or in their no teaching, and the atheist, and the whatever. That's all faith. They're putting their faith into something. Listen, I don't want anyone's faith to rest in knowledge. I want to rest in the power of God. Here's what you can do. So you can take your friends to Jesus by just praying for them, by being the body of Christ to them, by bringing them to the Jesus in you. But listen, it's a friend of mine, Gary Oates. He came with me many times to Brazil. He was a pastor for years, and he actually had some powerful encounters with the Lord, and he was there. He was actually preaching one night in Brazil, and a lot of people, probably a church that held like 2,000, totally packed out. That service was about to start, and the ushers came and said, Pastor Gary, everything's going well, except there are some people from down the street, the Macumba Center, the witchcraft center down the street. They're all dressed in their witchcraft garb, and they're casting spells here. We're thinking we should remove them. What do you want us to do? And he said, oh, no, don't remove them. I'll handle it. And so he prayed, and he goes out. The worship was about to start, but instead, he was just going to let the worship start, but instead, he goes out, and he greets everyone. He says, hey, I want to, obviously, he has a translator. I just want to welcome you all to church tonight. And I especially want to welcome those from the Macumba Center down the street. And he said, we're just so glad you're here. Listen, I just want to mention something to you. Two things quick to you. Listen, first of all, I would stop casting spells because we've prayed and we're protected here. And we don't want any harm to come on you. He said, but the second thing is more important. He said, I need to apologize to you. He says, because I believe something like this happened in your life, that you grew up knowing, because God created us with everyone with a place, a void for the supernatural to flow through. He created us for supernatural ability to live in us, for us to inhabit a supernatural power. And you grew up looking for that, to fill that empty void with supernatural power, and you did not see it in the Church of Jesus Christ. And so you went to the next best thing. You went to the Macumba. But I want you to know that tonight you are going to see the power of God in this place. And I believe by the end of the night, you're going to want to give up your the power that you have flowing through you, which is not of the God, and you want to receive the power of the Holy Spirit that'll be flowing through you. And many of them, because of the signs and wonders, miracles that happened in that service that night, many of them gave their lives to Christ that night. Listen, how do you bring your friends to Jesus? That's the kind of confidence we need in the body of Christ. And it's not going to happen. Listen, you will never get to the point. It'll help you by listening to messages and teachings on Scripture and reading the Scripture yourself about the power of God, but you will never get there. I can have the most amazing message right now, and you can be really encouraged on it, but your confidence will not go up very high by just listening to my message. Your confidence will not grow in the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you until you step out into the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry. I wish it could be some other way. I wish I could just kind of give you some kind of spiritual injection right now where your confidence will increase just because of my confidence. But it's not going to happen. You have to step out. All right. So being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him where they had dug the opening. They let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "My son, your sins are forgiven." Listen, this is crazy. Don't just read this, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. They dig a hole in a roof. I don't know if it was a thatch roof. I don't know if it was clay or mud or whatever. But they dug down to get to Jesus. But here's the crazy thing. It's even more crazy. Do you see what it says in verse 5? Jesus, seeing, it doesn't say, this strange sight of four men digging through the roof. It doesn't say, seeing the roof begin to collapse around him. It doesn't say, seeing a man being lowered down. You know what it says? It says, Jesus, seeing their faith. That's crazy to me. Jesus is looking at this crazy sight of guys doing this, and they're being, and this man being lowered down on a pallet, and he's looking all through it all and seeing faith. It says Jesus seeing their faith. Jesus is looking for faith. Jesus, there's a possibility. Jesus can come back in our lifetime. I believe that too. I believe it's a very real possibility. We are seem like we are at the end times of the end times. I'm telling you. You know, he asked a question of the generation that will be there alive when he returns. You know what he says? He says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? He's asking that of me. Will he find faith? You know, he's not talking about faith for salvation. He's talking about this kind of faith. Jesus is looking for faith through all the junk of your life, through the roof collapsing around you, through stuff going on in your life. And he's saying, I'm just looking for a little bit of faith here. Will anybody be looking to me and believe that I can do miracles? These men were looking to Jesus to do a miracle. And Jesus was like, this is amazing. I see the faith in them. They believe that I can still do miracles. That I'll do a miracle for their friend. And he was finding their faith. And he's still looking for it today. And he's still looking for it.
Flying with Global Air Force.